Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's Friday on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Immaculate vibes this morning, thanks to Nick Robertson, because it could have been a tough show this morning if the Maple Leafs kept the first period momentum, or lack of momentum, really, going through the rest of that game. But here we are, nonetheless. Everything is fixed. Everything is healed. The Leafs head out west. A little pep in their step. Let's talk to our guy who has not been in the fold for a while. I missed hearing his voice, Anthony Stewart. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well. So congratulations on the new gig as in-arena host. That's great. I want to know how you do it, though. I'm the man of many jobs here, yeah. And I worked the game last night. 8 o'clock came early for me this morning.
Buddy, I'm telling you, I don't even know. I'm aging real quick, getting wrinkles under my eyes. It's tough, but yeah, you got to grind. You got to grind in
so
your early career.
This is what
career.
You do.
Yeah, this
is
life.
What you got to do. You got to take a 5-hour energy and mix it with a triple espresso.
Oh,
you'll be
my
buzzing.
God.
You'll be buzzing.
Oh, I'm a little worried about my heart, but I'll give it a go. If you say it works, then it works. Well, glad to have you back in it. Yesterday, you were on the panel. Looking good out there with the new squad. We got a lot of new people rotating in the squad. The set looks different. Like, it's a whole revamped Sportsnet this time around, eh?
Yeah, it's the Avengers. You got Jamal Mayers doing the Sportsnet big boards. You got Anson Carter. Cassie came from Calgary. We got Keith Yandel. It's the superstar cast.
Yeah, we had Keith Yandel on the other day, and we were trying to get him to give us a little dirt, but he's still a pro, you know? He's not jaded yet like you. He can just say whatever he wants on the air. Right?
He'll open up soon, trust me. He's one of the funniest guys of all time, so you'll get to see what he's all about. Real
soon. I love it. Okay, Stewie, so yesterday we talked about at the top of the show, last night looked like it was maybe the perfect result that the Leafs needed. The guy that everybody wants to cheer for, getting not only the game winner, but another point against his brother on home ice. But the vibes have been not the greatest this week. Perfect result in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Leafs Nation's, last night sort of summed up the emotions, right? Mm-hmm. Where, after the first period, everyone's doing their eulogy. And then by the end of the game, the parade's back on down Front Street there. But again, for me, I keep saying, I know there's a lot of pressure on this group and, there's a lot riding on this season with regards to, possibly management, to player personnel. But it's the NHL. There's peaks and valleys. And I just think in this market, everything's magnified. And as a player, say you're struggling, it's only 4 or 5 games in. So teams usually do segments of 5 games and you sort of reevaluate after every 5 games. So, for them to come out right now at 3-2, and not playing that great hockey, it's still considered a positive. So, yeah, there's some things to work on. They have to have a little bit more passion, as Leafs Nation says. But like I said, right now it's just about collecting points. And so far, so good on that front of it from the player's side.
I guess if Jake Muzzin comes back and Matt Murray comes back and full health is returned, the Maple Leafs would be saddled with the decision on Robertson, but it feels like a non-decision, right? Like, there's no way that they will choose any other option but to keep Nick Robertson in the lineup for the season moving forward, right?
Well, I think you have to. And then again, I've been advocating him now for the last 2 years. I know he's had some injuries and he's been up and down, but when you have a prospect, there comes a point where you have to figure out exactly what you have. And I think the difference between last night and opportunities he's had in the past is, he caught a minus early on in the game, and they could have easily said, we're going to shuffle things up. Okay, you're going back into the bottom six. But what did they do? They just left him alone to figure it out. He had some great shifts, some not-so-great shifts. But again, you can see he's a different player this year. So for him, I think he needs that opportunity. Give him his 10, 15, 20 games in that top six, and I think you'll be surprised what you have. And kudos to Sheldon Keefe for putting him out in overtime, right? Just that confidence. The game, the National Hockey League, is about confidence. If you have a coach that believes in you and thinks that you're okay with making mistakes, you're really, really going to perform. Again, he scored 55 goals in the OHL. We know he could put the puck in the net. He scored 16, I think, at 25 games last year with the Marlies. This kid is a talent. And you're seeing his brother on the other side of the coin in Dallas. when he came in, they put him in a top six role. They left him there, gave an opportunity, and he succeeded. So I think Nick Robertson, he's here to stay, but I want to see him get that opportunity because he is a really solid National Hockey League player.
It seems like the pressure that, you know, feels a little bit too intense than it should be is weighing on certain individuals with this franchise. Keefe seems a little hot under the collar. Dubas's reaction in the press box was like something we've never seen from him before. So it's like it's wound tight. But it seems to be affecting Marner and Matthews on the ice more than anyone. What do you make of their struggles at even strength so far and their inability to replicate what they had last season, which was unrelenting production?
Well, you have guys like me saying they're going to score 70 goals and put up 110 points, but that's what they're capable of, right? So, you know, we talked about it last year with Matthews. If he didn't start off hurt and he didn't struggle at the beginning, he probably would have scored 70 goals. So, like we said, it goes in segments. So if it's two or three segments and they're still struggling and they're stuck at, you know, half a point a game, yeah, it's something to really, you know, shake a stick at. But it's early on in the season. And keep in mind, it's the pro league here, so other teams are doing their homework. They're taking their time and space. So, you know, they're smart players. It's a really well-run organization. They're going to be doing video on how they can improve. But I'm not worried in any sense of the word with regards to Matthews and Marner because they are top-end National Hockey League talents. And I think about, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, we won't be talking about this for sure.
I think quietly, the start of this season, John Tavares has looked pretty solid. He's looked, you know, the guy that you hope for after coming from a season last year. There's some injury concern. He's coming back this year a little bit injured, got back in the fold, I guess, a week early. Have you liked his start to the season?
Yeah, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie, and he's at 5 points a game. He's at 5 points, so he's at a point a game right now. And I think he's actually moving a lot better. He's on top of pucks. You see him battling in front of the net on the power play, the redirect guy in those dirty areas too. And he's making some nifty little slick plays. So he just seems like he's more energized this year. And again, he's not the fleetest of foot, but I think that's why a player like Robertson is a good complement to the line because he's always on his horse. He's in the corners, turning pucks over. He's really a workhorse for that line. But again, I'm not sure what his numbers are in the faceoff circle, but Tavares, you know, he's going to be a solid guy. He's going to give you 70, 80 points, play a good two-way game. And I think that was the key to me. You know, when he got hurt, you know, people were cringing a little bit, thinking, is this going to be a month and a half? What's going on? No, he came right back. So, again, he's playing some solid hockey. Again, he's not going to be a 40-goal guy like he was in the past, but he's a great, great two-way guy and a big, big piece of this Toronto Maple Leaf puzzle.
I'm not sure you can spin a real positive when you go 1-for-8 on the power play in a single game. Like, obviously, you got one power play goal, so you didn't leave without nothing. But 8 power play tries, it doesn't look necessarily all that fluid. But I think there is a silver lining in that, like, they were really struggling at 5-on-5. And all that power play time spent in the second period helped them turn their game around, it seemed. You know, there's a lot of work to do there, obviously. But those guys having a little bit more space to do their thing seemed to help the game. However, we think there's, like, a little bit... There's problems, obviously, with the power play that's struggling out of the gate. What do you see as, like, the main issue and why, hey... You know, if we finally have space for these guys, this is when they should be able to strike. But still, even, you know, their problems are reflected. Problems at 5-on-5, at least for Matthews and Marner, seem to be reflected in the power play as well.
Well, I could speak on this because I did score 5 power play goals my 1 year in Atlanta, but that's neither here nor there. But I think it maybe just starts with the accountability. And we talked about this last night, saying, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. That first unit's usually playing a minute and a half to a minute and 40, but not last night. They ended up putting the second unit on. They ended up scoring that goal, Kerfoot's first of the year. And the next power play, they started. So what that does now is put the first unit on notice, saying, hey, we're not just going to keep putting you out there. You got to do something. You got to perform because the second unit's ready to go. So if the first unit struggles, you know, the best way to fix that is by mixing it up. Maybe you put Matthews on the other side, the one-time option. Maybe you go 2D. Maybe you give Sandin an opportunity on PP1. He seems like he's dishing the puck pretty good. So I think for the power play, when it struggles, you got to mix it up a little bit of more accountability, but you got to simplify it. They're trying to come downhill too much cross seam. So I think they need a big, big shot option. Sandin showed that he can do that a bit last year, but when in doubt, just shoot the puck. You know, too many power plays, they got 0 shots for the whole entire 2 minutes. You got to find a way just to fire pucks. You see Tavares in front battling, scrambling. You know, that gets old if you're not getting pucks on net. So, again, there's nothing too intricate about the power play when it's struggling. You know, you just got to keep it simple. But they're one of the top units in the league. And again, they're just ironing out the details. I would not be surprised to see them get back up to par a lot sooner than later.
We're talking Anthony Stewart, noted power play goal scorer, current Sportsnet analyst. So speaking of mixing it up on the power play, maybe mixing it up in the bottom six, it seems like they haven't been doing too much of what we had expected or hoped for as of late. Is there a tweak or an alteration or someone that you need to really step it up here on this road trip?
Excuse me, that was just the Wayne train just driving by the tracks here.
I
see him, and again, I saw Kyle Clifford around the ranks in the summer. He looks good, and I think this team is a lot better with these two in the lineup, just because the deterrent factor. There's too many games when they're just coming out flat, and you can see on the bench there's just no energy. You know, there's no one yapping at the bench, and they're looking around for something to happen, and that's a player like Wayne Simmonds or Clifford can come out there and mix it up. It's not about fighting. It's just putting that other team on notice and letting them know that they're in a game. And going back to that Washington game, that fourth line almost took the game over for Washington, where they were running around, they were mixing it up, they were hurting guys here and there. You need that deterrent factor. And again, there's some new guys that came in. Yeah, you got to give them an opportunity. But, you know, you brought in a Simmonds to help get you through the playoffs, not to the playoffs. So, again, I still think he has some game. I was around him all summer. He trained with Matt Nichol, did a Matt Nichol training camp all summer with Tyler Seguin and some of the best players in the league. He's ready. He's refreshed. And he's waiting for an opportunity. But just having him in there, again, he brings that deterrent, saying, okay, you know what? You're not going to get pushed around. You're not going to be cross-checking Matthews and slashing in and slashing him in the face, because you're going to have to answer to the wing train. So, again, is he going to come in and give you 20 goals? No. But, again, that fourth line, you're going to expect 20 points. Okay, what are they doing when they're not scoring 20 points? They got to mix it up physically, and I think he brings that element every single night.
And I could not agree more. That's that was exactly the feelings I had watching that game last night. Not that it needs to be, punch someone in the face every shift, but I think you're right about maybe a deterrent. Like if you're Ben last night and you know that Wayne Simmonds is on the bench, I don't think you're being as chippy or as, you know, post whistle, getting in there and hitting Matthews. I think it'll be a really important thing down the stretch here to have him at least just present, because that fourth line and that third line, it seems like they don't really have an identity. And Justin and I tried to figure that out as well. It's like, are you a shutdown team or a shutdown line? Are you an energy line? Now, is it important to have a fourth line that is strictly energy and physicality, or can you find a meshing of, like, you know, moving somebody down a bit that could also be a finesse goal scorer? Or are you in the camp of, like, this fourth line is strictly getting out there in that first period yesterday where they needed energy? Like, is that where you would see them as most valuable as a fit?
You got to bring something to the table, right? And again, everyone's talking about Austin Matthews leading the team in hits. Mm-hmm. And me as a bottom six guy, as a player, I'd be offended by that, saying, oh, man, this guy's doing my job and scoring all the goals and has the best mustache in the league. Like, what's going on here? I got to do something. I got to bring something to the table here. And that's what it is. And I also got bullied into my first fight because, you know, I was in the minors in Rochester and we split with the Buffalo Sabres. And I played 26 games with the Florida Panthers, and I had 0 goals, 0 assists, 0 points, 0 PIMs, 0 everything. And every time I came back, Clark MacArthur, who, you know, is a former Leaf, he was in Rochester. He used to call me the Ghost of Christmas Past, and he'd be like, ooh, here comes Stewie. Ooh, he's going up. He's floating up to the NHL. He's coming back. So I was like, oh, man, this is embarrassing. I got to do something here. And he actually put it in perspective. If you have zeros on the board or you're not eating on the game sheet, what else? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're just a guy, and there's that term jag. You can't be a jag, just another guy in the league. You got to find a way, especially if you're a young guy or you're trying to earn a contract. You got to do something. So it's not fighting. You can block shots. You can mix it up in front of the net. You can kill penalties. You can hit. You got to do something. You got to do something to get on the game sheet. So that's a team that's, when you're ready to win the Stanley Cup or take that next step in your development, you can't have too many jags. And I think that's something that the team needs to improve on right now.
I think that's a great point. I think they got two jags on the wings at their fourth line right now. Like, David Kampf is a really important player to this team, and he's being saddled right now with two guys who are finding it real difficult to make an impact from night to night. I want to go into the Keefe debacle a little bit with you. Obviously, he made his comments. He walked them back. Marner looked a little upset by them. He brought it up again. He's blaming the media. Do you think this whole thing is like a window into the issues going on with this team, where there's a little bit of distrust. There's a little bit of, you know, in my feelings, there's something going on. There's something brewing, and it seems like this Keith debacle, unforced, short, kind of shined a light on it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's blown out of proportion. And again, I've had coaches yell and scream at me literally right in front of a media member before, and it didn't even make the print. So I'm a little bit not well-versed in this part of it because, again, you're in a pressure cooker. And, again, I'm not blaming the media. I'm part of the media. But it just seems things that are blown out of proportion. The fact that he has to apologize for comments, I think that's blown out of proportion for, you know, as well, because this is the National Hockey League. Players are paid a lot of money. The pressure comes with it, and you have to accept criticism and blame. But the one thing I could say about the elite players on Toronto Maple Leafs, when it comes to criticism, they're their own worst critics. So they know when they're not going. They know that they have to be better. So I don't think they need to be reminded about that in the media. So the one thing that I try to wonder about is saying, well, you know, for it to get out in the media, maybe these are conversations that date back to last year, maybe over training camp. So he's probably just frustrated because of a lot of the pressure on this season. There's a lot riding on this season, and, you know, expectations were a lot higher for the team at this point. So for me, I think it's a bit of a nothing burger, but I don't think he had to walk it back because, you know, I had coaches chirping me in front of the media, and again, I let it slide. It didn't bother me in any sense of the word.
I'm sure you had teammates too, where it was like, yeah, you know, the coach is allowed to criticize you. And I think that's one thing that we haven't really touched on, but like, I feel like there should have been someone in the room that said to Mitch Marner or Austin Matthews, like, he's allowed to be critical. He's allowed to have some sort of, you know, a critical eye when looking at your game. He's allowed to scrutinize your play. And I feel like that's one thing that might be missing here. It might have happened. It might be happening behind closed doors. But one thing is for sure is that it bothered Mitch Marner. And we saw that. And then Keith decided he wanted to walk it back. I feel, and this isn't calling out John Tavares, not calling out any leadership, but who's in there saying to Mitch Marner, you know what, he's the coach of this team, he's the authority on this team, he's allowed to criticize you?
Ron Hainsey. I don't know. He's not here anymore. So, like I said, it's a younger group now, but, you know, what if John Tortorella was here, right? Look at what he's saying. He's essentially saying the team is suck. We suck. We don't have anything, any positive attributes. And what did that team do? Did they sit there and cry about it? No, they actually used that as motivation to say, hey, you know what? We're going to prove the coach wrong. So, again, I think Sheldon Keefe is a very, very smart man, and I think he's probably using it probably to motivate some of these guys because he wants them to come back and stick it in their face and say, hey, you're calling me out. Look at my game now. So I think it's more of a motivational tactic, but mixed with a little bit of the pressure of the situation because, you know, he knows after every one of those games, he's got to step up in front of the media and answer some of these tough, tough questions for sure.
Stewie, we appreciate you getting up, grinding for us a little bit, and, of course, the insight. We'll chat again soon.
All right, thanks a lot. Parade's back on.
Was never off, Stewie.
So I'm okay with Wayne Simmonds coming in this weekend.
Oh,
if it happens.
Now you're back on the Wayne train.
I said it was okay. Nah. But one thing I just want to remind, and I'm not going to, you know, come back at Stewie, whatever. You're who I'm focused on here.
Okay.
You have to change the entire dynamic of your team if you have Wayne Simmonds in the lineup. Because Wayne Simmonds is not going to play on a shutdown fourth line with David Kampf. So that's just a reminder. If Wayne Simmonds comes in, you got to think about changing your entire bottom six, probably going back to the Kampf, Kerfoot, Engvall type of deal as your shutdown line, and then rolling Simmonds with the hyphen guys.
Justin.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not an easy insert, in my opinion.
What has the bottom six done for you lately?
We have to be reminded that David Kampf does take all the defensive zone draws and plays against the best players. Okay?
Yeah.
And Wayne Simmonds is not going to be doing that.
That's fine.
So you just got to change things up. And changing things up is fine, but it's not as simple as taking Obey Kubel out and putting Wayne Simmonds in. That's all I'm saying.
I understand that. But it is certainly time to shuffle the bottom six up.
Is it?
Yes, Justin. We just talked about how they've
done nothing. We're just
planning
the parade again.
Oh, yeah. You can play in the parade and also switch the bottom six up.
Okay.
I think that's a happy medium.
Gives us something to talk about, at least.
Something to chew on, even.
Yes. You had a story.
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, because we were talking about retro jerseys. Obviously, if you haven't seen the reverse retro jerseys, they're out there. I'm going to be wearing a retro jersey today because I'm going to a surprise 30th birthday party.
I mean, you just...
This individual does not live...
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm not going to say their name, but surprise 30th birthday party today. And the theme is you have to dress as this individual at some point in their life, right? So like Hollister version of this person or like...
It's such a good idea.
So it's like you go back on their Facebook and you look and you're like, oh my God, remember when you're in your Hollister era? Well, you're dressing as...
I had a huge
Hollister. I can see it. So, like, let's say it's Justin. So, Justin as Hollister era. Justin, this individual has a baby now. Justin, dad mode. Like, you, yes.
Different stages of life, yeah.
Okay, so I've selected to wear a previous Halloween costume of this individual. Quickly, this story is wild. So, he went to Brock University. And, there was one point in his young college days where they were out pretty late and they missed, I guess it was like Thorold or whatever. I don't know Brock very well, but they were outside of the Brock, St. Catharines area.
Thorold sounds right.
Yeah. If you don't hit the cab 2:30 a.m. back in like 10 years ago, there's no Ubers, you're not getting home. So they missed he misses the cab situation. He was out trying to find a companion for the evening. So he was by himself. So instead of, you know, he had no way of getting home. So he's walking the streets of Thorold, and this is Halloween. He's wearing a Paul Kariya jersey and a helmet, like full in dressed as him.
It's a tough Halloween costume.
Really?
I mean.
Regardless, he's dressed
as a hockey player you're in university.
Well, you know what? That's fine. So I'm going to be dressed as him tonight with the Paul Kariya jersey and the bucket. But the way the story ends, why it's so iconic, is he decides, like, I got to find somewhere to sleep. So he goes into a bank, into, like, the vestibule or whatever, like, the area where the ATM is.
Mm-hmm.
And he rolls up in the carpet like a burrito and, like, decides he's going to sleep there.
No way.
Justin. Like, there's nowhere to go. What are you going to do? It's freezing out. It's October. He's dressed as Paul Kariya in a jersey and a helmet. So he's, like, there's nothing else. You're going to sleep on a park bench. So he goes into whatever this bank was, rolls up in a burrito and falls asleep. In the morning, somebody sees him and calls 911 to report a dead body.
Oh, my God.
Because it's rolled up in a carpet.
Like Soprano style.
Like, literally, the police, the fire, and the ambulance come. And they're like, oh, my God, this is, like, tragic.
He's got to get charged for that.
This young individual.
They let him off?
They go to, like, get him. And he wakes up and he's like, hey, what's going on? And the police officers like jump out of their skin. Like they're like, oh my God, we thought you were dead. And he's like, no, I just like needed to take sleep. Like I needed a nap. And the cop's like, oh, you know, was it Scott Stevens hitting you across the blue line on this one? Like just like they thought it was hilarious.
Really?
They thought it was so funny. They drive him home. They're like, they're giddy
really?
That this
I
happened.
I thought he was getting charged for sure.
Oh, he got off scot-free. The cops loved it. Anyway, so it's iconic story. I'm wearing his outfit tonight at this surprise 30th
now,
birthday party.
Are you going to be incorporating the carpet in any way? Like, are you going
to? Well, I'm trying to figure that out.
You got to bring a carpet.
I got to bring a carpet, but I got the fit, so I'll be wearing the vintage jersey, the same one that he was wearing that night. It still exists in the friend group.
I thought you were going to say like he slept on the grass or something.
No,
maybe you got to put a grass stain on it or something.
Straight up burritoed in the.
You got to bring carpet.
Okay, so
somehow.
And so it's a surprise. We're taking a party bus to Blythe, Ontario.
Jeez.
Anyone from Blythe, we're heading up a local
it's a big night.
Spot, like a brewery there anyway. So
that's a great idea for a themed birthday, though. Stages of your life.
Yeah, and it's his wife's decision is really lovely, and it'll be fun to reminisce. Anyway, and he's turning 30, so it's kind of a nice look back at who you were, stages of who you were.
I love it.
Someone says, I slept in a bank at Guelph. Maybe this is a common thing.
I cannot believe that all the resources called, fire truck, ambulance, genuine concern, and they're just like, yeah, that's funny.
It was hilarious.
That's funny.
They're probably super relieved that they didn't have to write up this young,
I guess,
individual's situation anyway. So
I feel like he's lucky.
Yeah, well, it's Thorold. They're nice people out there. Salt of the earth.
Nice people everywhere.
All right, well, over under on if you know what the odds on this being ruined is a good wake and rake betting odds
on what being ruined
this surprise party. I've never been a part of a surprise party. I've never had one thrown for me. I don't know if the success rate on them, but I'm hoping that this one
might have been safer story for the 6 a.m. block. Someone could be...
he's not listening.
Someone could be tuning in at 8:30.
Hey, guys, I got $20, says the surprise has just been ruined. No way, Andrew. I hope not.
I feel like there's a chance.
All right, we're going to find out if he's a real friend or not if he listens to the show, the Fan Morning Show. Next is the Wake and Rake brought to you by Univet, and we're going to do our pick-aside back to the Dan Morning Show, back on the mic. That's next with Justin and Naylor, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
And just a public service announcement here from me.
Yeah.
I am officially retiring from baseball betting in 2022.
Thank God.
I am one out short, one run short.
We did it! We broke Justin.
One strikeout short, one base short.
Man, it's been bad.
It's been bad, but it's been excruciatingly bad because it's close. And I'm not making excuses. I pick losers. I pick losers in baseball.
I've been fielding the DMs
not,
from people that want your head.
I know. It's an issue. I know. So that's why we are done betting baseball. I'm going to just cheer for the Astros, cheer for my future on the Astros. Just enjoy postseason baseball without putting my money on it and putting your money on it.
Because it
has been a big time struggle. So we'll let the listeners involve any Major League Baseball games moving forward, unless you, of course, go that direction.
No.
But I vow to you and the listeners to never pick another baseball game in 2022. Too many excruciating losses. Last night was brutal. Bregman, 3-run home run, was second, third inning?
Yeah, you were like, oh, this is money.
We're locked in. I need the Astros over the next 6 innings to get 1 run. Base runners are on. No hits when it matters most against Luis Severino. In a bum bullpen. And yet they still win. Like, I was even cheering for a Yankees run.
At that point,
because
yeah.
Then at least I get the ninth inning and maybe the 10th or 11th or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have to score one more to win the game.
Tough, Justin. I feel for you. Yesterday was my first loss of the week, I think, or whatever.
His first loss in weeks.
Yeah, I was doing really well. Alvin Kamara, he's like on his way to record-breaking numbers. Second half of the game, what did he? He did the Charles Davis lay down and have a nap. Because I didn't see that guy touch the ball once.
That game's, I didn't watch that game at all. I mean, I'm watching the Astros. I'm watching the Leafs, obviously. I'm a two-screen max guy. Yeah. I can barely handle two screens. Let's just put it that way. But that game had, what, 70 points?
It was crazy.
And it was like under central. Like, I had Kyler Murray in the same game. He didn't even come close to his over passing and yard and rushing total, combined total. I'm like, how are these points getting scored? It's just interception returns for touchdowns?
That was basically
pick it. Pick sixes? Like, what is happening?
You get Thursday a pick nights. Six. You get a pick six.
That was just ridiculous. Anyway, let's move forward.
All right, so...
Another chance at glory.
I totally forgot to even mention to send in your Wake and Rake submissions. Like, it just... Whoop, way over the head.
Good thing we have a...
Good thing we have the loyal listeners know. They don't even need me to remind them. So we have our regulars in the text line, but we'll take it for another 5 minutes. How about that?
And I have to thank the text line again.
Once again.
Because I played a little, I think it was Jeg and Big Mac. Mm-hmm. Had two great picks with Valdez and I believe it was James Harden over. Parlayed those.
Yep.
Saved my night. This is a community. We're here for each other.
But you did get a shout on the text line that your Houston to score first and win parlay hit.
I should have played that. I wanted to play that, but I'm like, it's 155. I'm going to be an idiot to play that.
Yeah.
Thanks to that person.
Okay, while we wait for a couple more Wake and Rake submissions to come on in here, 590, 590, let's do our pick aside. So the current score is 5-4 for us, the good guys.
Good guys.
And now it's time for Pick Aside. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Bum-ba-da-dum. Bum-ba-da-dum. I feel like that's kind of Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon-esque. I don't know if you've been watching that, but like it's got that little bit of a medieval bop to it.
That might be my weekend, honestly. You're having this like party bus atmosphere. I might just do 5 straight House of Dragon
I'm a little behind, but I'm seeing people be like, "Whoa, it was a great episode." I'm like, "Okay, I haven't had time yet."
It's too much chatter. I need to get back into it.
Yeah. Anywho.
Who's starting Pick Aside today? Them, because we're up. Is that how it works?
No, we just rotate every week. Like, okay. Where have you been?
I mean, you're the maestro here.
It's
the conductor.
You just coast through these shows. All right, guys behind the glass, let's get it going.
You're the commissioner, Ailish.
That's right.
You're the commissioner.
You're the commissioner of our fantasy football league, which I...
Yes, I am.
Don't want to mention actually ever again. So, okay, go ahead. I'm having a tough go here.
Okay, well, before we get going, I have a bit of a gripe with you, Ailish.
Oh, what is that?
Well, between the last time we spoke until now, I have a gripe. Mm. Okay? So, as a good friend, I come and I go and defend the man to my left here, the lovely Josh Santos. Come on Twitter. I think I put out a little, you chirp him for his retro reverse jersey.
Yeah, just terrible takes, that's all.
Okay, relax. I come to his defense, and all I say is that as a good behind-the-glass brother, I need to defend him and support him. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I agree or disagree, I'm just here to support. Doesn't even get a like.
I'm busy working.
what do you think?
Live radio
the
Dan
Morning Show.
what are we doing behind here? But you were not too busy to criticize his picks.
Mm-hmm. Respectfully.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Respectfully.
There's a lot going on in here, guys.
There's lots of drama. All right, well, I apologize. Okay. I'm going to go like every tweet you've ever tweeted.
Grab some of mine while you're at it.
look, I'm not... I'm not... I don't really care, to be quite honest, but I just thought I'd say it. I rarely see likes or retweets from any of the folks in here except for Josh. Let's just put it that way.
Wow.
So I will say that. And I had Blue Jays news yesterday that I tweeted out and could have easily been shared between you guys as well, and there was no such support. So
listen, there's a lot of pressure when you've got like 15 straight wrong picks in the wake of the I have only so much energy.
I love the fact that you were so disgusted at those baseball picks, by the way. You were just so disgusted.
Which ones?
You were like Yankees and their bum bullpen.
Oh, it's a bum bullpen. Is it not?
I don't know, but I'm just saying I love the fact that you were just like, you put a label on them. Because that's how frustrated you were by the fact that the Astros couldn't scrape across one more run.
I was very, very frustrated last night.
No, so I support that. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off track there. But okay, so we get the first pick, correct?
Yes, you do.
Okay, thank you. So, first pick this week. We need to get things going in the right direction. We're going to go with the New York Giants on the road against the Jags. +3, the line on Unibet. The Giants, this is a 5-1 football team. Their defense is playing really well. I'm actually genuinely surprised that they're 3-point dogs in this game. I feel like the line should be closer. But they're 4-0 outright as an underdog this year already. They're 5-1, of course, as a team, but also 5-1 against the spread this year. And Daniel Jones, 13-4 in his career against the spread on the road as a dog. So I like all those numbers, and I like the New York Football Giants on the road.
Yeah, I would only bet the Giants, honestly. Like, I'm not falling in that trap again. If there's one like blind spot for me, I keep thinking, well, the Giants can't keep doing that, but they keep doing it. So if you're going to get 3 points with a team that just continues to exceed expectations, I feel like you could do far worse. Now, I'm deferring a little bit here.
I'm feeling a little bit less confident about our first pick.
We can make a change. You want to go New York, New York?
Let's do New York, New York.
Okay, we're taking the Jets.
We're doing Jets. The line has moved significantly. The Jets are half a point.
Pretty irrelevant numbers, though. Like,
dogs.
If it moves a couple points, we're inside three. We need them to win the game. We need them to win the game regardless. So
over the Broncos, I think we've just seen enough of the Broncos. Buddy Charles Davis on the call, nothing better to listen to than him.
Exactly. At least, put all our investment into the Charles Davis game. The Broncos are a mess. Preseason expectations, they're probably, they might be a 7-point favorite, but things have changed. Mm-hmm. New York Jets have the juice. The Leafs didn't have in the first period yesterday. Broncos have Wolverine blood and Russell Wilson, and that's it. this is a narrative play, probably. But the Jets, have talent.
Yep.
And they know how to use said talent. And one coach is, highly regarded in Robert Saleh. And Nathaniel Hackett is a bum, to use the bum word again. It's just a struggle. So we'll go with the team that has a little momentum versus the team that is lost right now in the Denver Broncos. Jets, top pick for us.
Love it.
Nice. Okay, next up for us, we're going to go with the Tennessee Titans at home against the Colts.
Minus, also on our list.
Excuse me. -2.5. I'm glad there's some overlap. But no, yeah, like the Titans, the Colts are coming off a really gutsy win. Matt Ryan threw the ball all over the yard, had a career high in pass attempts, completions, almost threw for 400 yards. But I think the Titans historically have been very good coming off bye weeks under Mike Vrabel.
You're right about that.
They're 4-0 against the spread after a bye. They've won all four of those games by at least 14 points. I believe the average was like almost 20 in terms of the margin of victory. So really like the Tennessee Titans in this matchup. And, you know, Derrick Henry going up against that Colts defense. And I also think Matt Ryan could have a pretty decent day. Ryan Tannehill could have a decent day. And also Matt Ryan, it's the Jekyll and Hyde show with him. One week he's great, and the next he can really struggle. There's a lot. It's just too inconsistent. So I don't mind laying the 2.5 with the Titans.
Yeah, that was in our top three.
Yeah, you got a key number. You got Vrabel historically being great after the bye. It makes all the sense in the world, except for the fact that every time I bet on or against Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts, the opposite happens. So probably best that just we stayed away from that. But, you know, it's probably a good bet.
Our second selection will be Seahawks +5 against the Chargers on the road.
We're Geno Smith guys. Like, we believe
Smith
in the runner-up. The comeback player of the year behind Saquon Barkley. We believe wholeheartedly in Geno Smith and what he can accomplish. This team plays hard. This team is Jets-like in that they continue to defy expectations. I think the Chargers are way better on paper, but the Chargers had a lot of trouble with the Denver Broncos. They haven't been right. They haven't sorted things out. Are they still without Keenan Allen? Either way, they become one note, it seems, offensively. And that defense hasn't been exactly what we expected. I just think the Seahawks can make this a game, so we'll take the 5 points.
Yeah, we're not sure if Keenan's going to play or not, but if he is, that's obviously a big boost for the Chargers. And I actually really admire that pick. And the only thing I would be somewhat concerned about, and this is why I didn't necessarily even circle it on our card here, is the fact that that Seahawks defense has kind of been really, really hemorrhaging points every week. So that was the only concern there, because otherwise I think their offense is good enough. Our third and final pick, the Chiefs on the road against the Niners. Okay, 2-point favorites. It's a small line. You're essentially looking for almost a pick 'em here. Kansas City's coming off that loss against Buffalo. Okay, I just don't see how Patrick Mahomes is going to allow this football team to lose another game. The Niners, you could make the argument in terms of the narrative spin that they're coming off a horrendous loss to Atlanta. They're going to get McCaffrey in there. We don't know in terms of how, like, he'll probably have some sort of pitch count, but he'll probably play. They're at home, but I just think the Chiefs, anytime you can have Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to ride with that. And we're looking for some redemption after picking them last week, and they lost and they missed the cover by a point.
D, that was my favorite pick of the night last night.
That was our number one pick coming in.
When I went through the lines, I said, what is this? But then this morning, waking up, Christian McCaffrey news, it makes me a little uneasy. So we dropped it out of our top three. But I tell you, I was all over it for every reason you said. But I'm pumping the brakes just a bit because I don't know how this is going to go. You got the invigoration of Christian McCaffrey. So it'll be a fun one to watch nonetheless. But we gave that one away, so we're either going to be regretting that or loving it Monday.
Yep, we had it circled. It was number one, and then we went the opposite way.
But we are going to go.
I don't know if we panicked. Let's take a second here, because we can actually like look at the board.
That's true. These are our remaining options.
That is the game of the week, KC and San Francisco, because otherwise it is brutal. I mean, there is not really a good matchup here. Cincinnati-Atlanta might be the best matchup in the 1 o'clock window. It's
speaking of
a lot of good teams.
I was big on Falcons to cover the spread again, because that's all they do is cover the spread. But Justin, it's going to end sometime.
Cincinnati was my number one pick, and I was overruled, and I overruled myself because you were adamantly against that pick. I will go Atlanta if you really want it. +6.5, despite the fact that it was my number one selection
coming into this week. I need you to get a win.
I think Cincinnati's going to break through here
let's
look at it. Do you like Detroit +7 at all versus Dallas?
I can't bet on my Detroit Lions anymore.
Okay, so no for Detroit. What about the Packers In Washington.
Okay, five. So the final ones that we had written were Bengals -6.5.
Yeah.
Which was your favorite pick of the day.
But we're not doing it.
Well, we could.
No, we're not.
Okay, Packers -5 was our next one. Over the Washington Commanders, a joke of a franchise, who doesn't even have enough money to pay out their 50-50 bets, remember?
Yes. So, is there one more that we can consider?
And we liked Cowboys -7 over my Lions.
Did we?
We didn't.
I don't trust him.
Okay, so pick between those two, okay, Justin. You need to win, man.
Cincinnati and Green Bay, which team would you rather bet on? Forget the opponent.
Which team do you have more faith on? Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, Cincinnati Bengals is our third pick.
Bengals -6.5 over the Falcons. And if they cover again, I don't know. There's something that we got to check in there. Like, they got, what's the guy? The lady that Aaron Rodgers is dating she proclaims herself as a witch. I'm not making that up.
I was going to say witch, and I'm like, is that rude if I say witch?
No, she truly says that she is a witch, using that language, that verbiage. So she has put some sort of spell on the Falcons if they win again against the spread. So that's all I got to say. So let's run it down. Giants +3, Titans -2.5, and Chiefs -2. That's the team DJ is what I've named you, Danielle, Josh. And then we're team AJ. Because I didn't want to go JD because I got enough JD. AJ, Team AJ, Team AJ is Jets. Half a point, plus half a point. I guess that's a weird one. Seahawks +5 and Bengals -6.5. Team DJ versus Team AJ. May the odds be ever in your favor. We're up 5-4 on the team records here.
Yep. Okay, best of luck.
Yep, you too.
Danielle, stay on for a second because we got to do Boston. We got to do Toronto and Brooklyn tonight. That's the key game. It might be our listener submission. Maybe there's something there. But I feel like the only thing we can comfortably, because we're trying to find things we can rely on, and Pascal Siakam feels like the one thing we can rely on. His over-under for points is 21.5 right now. Who would be guarding Pascal? Like, should we be expecting a good Pascal night versus the Brooklyn Nets, given that they're not the deepest team in the world? This could be a lot of points scored. What's your just take on Pascal Siakam potentially tonight? Because that seems like a reasonable look, 21.5.
The Nets don't play defense, so that should tell you enough. And I love that. And 21.5 is actually low. I didn't think the number would be that low. So I'm with you on hammering the over. I think that's a really strong bet. And I would also maybe even look at some of the other Raptors and see what their number's at. Like, I could see Scotty having a pretty impactful game.
He's at 14.5.
Yeah, I think that's another good number right there, honestly. The Nets, I mean, they gave up $130
to
New Orleans.
If you just sprayed Raptors player overs today, you probably come out ahead, wouldn't you? OG over 15, Scotty over 14, Pascal over 21, Gary Trent over 17, Fred over 17.
Fred might be a really smart one today because he's coming off a game where, although he played a lot of minutes, I don't think he was necessarily he wasn't a centerpiece in terms of what they were doing offensively. He's kind of just on the peripherals and had a decent night. But I love the Siakam. I kind of like Fred. And Scotty's number is very reasonable. And the way that the Nets give up points, I think you're looking at some positive results there.
Okay, Ayla, she might be thinking about the spread for your Wake and Rake.
Okay, so before I looked at, like, during the break, they didn't have player props up yet. So I liked just the Raptors to win or Raptors on the spread, which is +2.5. But now having player props up, I love Pascal over, and I also love maybe the over in general, or the Raptors over, which is 112. They don't play defense, so...
Yeah, they don't.
And all of our players that we just mentioned are going to hit their overs and points. Like, over 112, to me, seems intriguing. The Nets are a very big question mark at this point. Toronto's won 4 of the last 5 games they played there. They're 5-0 against the spread the last 5 times they played in Brooklyn. So I really like the Raptors tonight. I'm just deciding which version of the Raptors bet I'd like to go with.
Okay, I'm going to leave that to you. I think I'm going to play Fred and Scotty, unless you put one of those in the Wake and Rake. But I think we should just quickly go through the anchor submissions, mm-hmm. get that in place, and then we can finish things off.
Okay. So we
got about 2 minutes. So
all right, I'm going to rip through them. Parlay Poppy, here to lick my wounds. 2.5 wasn't, 2 out of 4 wasn't ideal, but we deserve redemption. Avalanche and Grizzlies is the parlay of the night. Also, Oliveira for the UFC this weekend.
Yeah, quickly, I'm all over the plus money on Oliveira as well.
Okay, perfect. Chris and Moncton, happy Friday. McKinnon over 1.5 points. Have a great weekend. Wake and Rake pick, Pascal over 8.5 rebounds. He said during his press conference, Nurse wants him to grab more boards. Backup pick would be Pascal over points. Also, Justin's parlay hit yesterday. All right. Big Mac. Suarez over 3.5 strikeouts. He's done that in 15 out of 16 starts. We can't touch baseball.
No, we can. That's a good line.
Okay. Tampa Bay Lightning.
If you're going Raptors,
yep.
We need something else, right?
Tampa Bay Lightning on the money line. Starting to look, they're 1-3 looking to come out strong. Matt and Dundalk.
You always had the L on Dundalk.
Dundalk. There's an L in there.
What do you think? Do we want Suarez or are you, you got to make your decision on Pascal pretty much.
I'm going to do Pascal over points.
And we can't do rebounds then, right? So we got to take that one off the board.
That's correct.
So it comes down to Suarez or Tampa Bay.
And what's your selection?
I'm taking the Red Wings on the money line. Okay. I'm not like a no rationale Red Wings over the Blackhawks in Chicago. Detroit's better.
So we're either going with, I think Big Mac keeps hitting. We got to go with Big Mac, right?
Big Mac. Suarez over 3.5 Ks.
Okay, Suarez over 3.5 Ks. I'm going with Pascal Siakam over points, and you're going with the Detroit Red Wings to win the hockey game tonight.
Over the Chicago Blackhawks.
All right, all together on Unibet. +473.
I like that one.
I think it's a safe, happy bet. Kick off your Friday, your weekend. Best of luck to everybody. Justin, it's time to turn this around. Monday morning, we're coming back with all the positive vibes.
There's always next week.
Thanks for listening
until
this week
not.
To the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat with you Monday.